privilege to be here on this Lord's Day to worship Him. I would like to say to continue to worship Him, for every day we ought to wake up each morning worshiping God, thanking Him for all of His wonderful blessings. It's always a blessing to look out and to see all of the saints who have come to worship God and to encourage one another and to fellowship one with the other. We are very thankful to all of the men who have led us in our worship and the wonderful thematic songs that were delivered today in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank Him for all of His great, great blessings that He has bestowed upon us by giving His life for us. And as I look out, I see various colors that remind us of spring. And it's always good to see colors. To be honest about it, I had a new suit this morning, and I had a new tie and all of that. But when I looked in the mirror, I said, no, this is not going to work this morning. I said, I'm going to have to go on back and get Old Faithful here. But I'm going to break out in it. You're going to see it. Amen. Amen. Y'all going to say that. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. But I didn't want to be distracted this morning. You know, sometimes, you know, wearing something new and you want to talk about it, you get a little self-conscious. And so I want to really focus our attention on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just believe that every now and then we ought to go back and just remember the great sacrifice that He has made for us. Read in your hearing Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. He is not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The angel said to the women, He is not here. He has risen. And I want to use for a subject this morning the resurrection, fact or fiction. The resurrection, fact or fiction. Is the resurrection really historical? Is it something that really happened? Or is it something that has become a tradition of Christianity, not realizing or wanting to accept whether it is valid or not, but just something that we have accepted, and that is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. We understand that those who give close attention, they say that it's irrational, superstitious, absurd to think that someone would die on a Friday afternoon and then resurrect on that first day of the week, which we know as Sunday. The strength of Christianity rises and falls on the fact of the resurrection. You think in terms of Jesus Christ, He is a historical figure. He's as historical as Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Julius Caesar. There was a man who lived in the world by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Another fact is that we know that he died. Actually, he was crucified at the hands of the Romans. This is historical fact. And we also know that he was buried. That's also historical fact. Another historical fact is that early on the first day of the week, the tomb was empty. Now that's a historical fact. The tomb where they laid him on Friday was empty. First day of the week. Now that's a fact. In dealing with these facts, there have been many theories that have been raised to answer the question or to give an explanation of the empty tomb on the first day of the week. Some say that Jesus really did not die, but only swooned, which means that he passed out and gave the appearance of being dead, but he was resuscitated and revived, and then he came out of the tomb. Another theory is that the women that say that report that the tomb was empty, that these women had gone to the wrong tomb. And somehow they didn't really know exactly where the tomb of Jesus was. But the most popular theory that has been promoted is that his disciples stole the body. But when you look at the testimony of the four Gospels, each one of them rest their case with the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. You cannot read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John without them concluding unequivocally that he rose on that third day. What's interesting is that the Gospels really were written after the epistles. The epistles of Paul were written, and then later the Gospels were written to verify and authenticate the message of the apostles that began to be preached on the first Pentecost after the resurrection. When you consider the four Gospels, as they seek to try to help us to understand that there's no hoax about this resurrected Savior of ours, they go into great detail concerning his burial. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have similar testimony concerning the burial of Jesus. And here's what they testify to: that he died and was buried in a tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, one of his secret disciples, part of the Sanhedrin, gained permission from Pilate, who was governor of Judea, Roman governor of Judea, that he might have the body of Jesus that died on that Friday. He was given permission, and he buried him in a rock tomb that had been hewn out of a rock. And the scripture says, where no man had ever lain before. It was located in the place where he was crucified. In other words, he was crucified in a garden that was close to the crucifixion. In a garden, you find the tomb of Arimathea that was used to bury Jesus Christ, who had been crucified. Another fact of it is that when you read John 19, 38 through 42, the Bible says, "And this Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly," John 19, 38, "besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came before and took the body of Jesus." Then we find out that there was one by the name of Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture. This is the emphasis here. A mixture of myrrh and alloys. And they were about 100 pounds in weight, anywhere from 65 to 100 pounds. Now, think about 100 pound weight. That's a lot of, not many men can carry that kind of weight. Now, I have a problem with 40 pounds. You know, picking that up, 50 pounds. But 100 pounds of myrrh and alloys mixture, they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews were. Now, I want you to listen to the detail that they give. And that is that the body of Jesus was wrapped in linen. What they usually would do is wash the body, straighten the body, then bandage it tightly from the armpits to the ankles in strips of linen about a foot wide. And then they would pour in those aromatic spices, because they didn't embalm bodies then, but to keep the stench down. Often they put in these aromatic spices. It was gummy. And the reason that it was a gummy mixture that was placed between the wrappings and the folds was to serve as a preservative and to cement the glue to the clothes wrapping in a solid covering. Now we get a good picture of this in John 11 and verse number 44. You remember the story. Remember the story of Lazarus. Remember Jesus raised him from the dead and said, "Lazarus, come forth." Are you remembering that? And when Lazarus came forth, he came forth bound. Are you with me? The Bible says in verse number 44, the Bible says, "And he who had died came out bound," what? "Hand and what? Foot." With what? "Grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth." Now, the way that the Jews would take a body, they would wrap it from here down to the ankles with that linen, and in between the linen, they would put that gummy mixture to seal the linen and the body. And then, separate from the part that they would wrap the torso, they would then take the head and wrap bandages around the head. And when Lazarus came out of the grave, he came out of the grave wrapped And that's why Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Because, you see, he wasn't going to unwrap himself. No. Because the way that they bind him and wrapped him, somebody else had to unwrap him. Y'all follow me? So when Jesus was crucified and died, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus, they washed his body, and they straightened his body, and they wrapped it with 100 pounds of those alloys and mixtures. And so Jesus is put in this tomb, bound. Now, my question is, if he swooned, and, you know, later on, you know, was resuscitated, I want to know, how in the world did he get out of all those grave clothes? Amen. So I know that didn't happen. Are you with me? Now, another fact is a stone. That was a large stone. Each one of the Gospels emphasized that there was a large stone, very heavy stone, that was placed over the door of the sepulchre. Matthew says it was a large stone rolled against the door of the tomb. And remember the women, early on that first day of the week when they wanted to go back and visit the tomb, the question that they asked was, who will roll the stone away for us? Because that stone was at least 1.5 to 2 tons. 1.5 to 2 tons. It would take 20 men to roll that stone back. The way they would do it, they always, once they built the sepulchre, they would take that large stone and they would anchor that stone above the door, and they built a gully or a groove in front of the door. And when time came to seal, they would take a wedge from under the stone, and all they had to do is just let the stone roll in front of the door. And that's the way that they sealed that tomb. Well, my question is, if Jesus suddenly woke up, and you can understand that, I want to know, how did he get out of the grave clothes? And how did he roll that stone back himself? Now, I'm talking about folk who don't want to accept the fact that he's God. Are you with me? Now, I'm going to show you something else that's interesting. There was a question concerning him resurrecting on the third day, and there was a Roman guard that was put there. And then there was a Roman seal. And Matthew 27, 62 through 66, the Bible says, now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Now these are the ones who crucified him, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, I'm in Matthew 27, 62, and I want you to watch this now. That deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Are you with me? Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you are given a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now, here you have a grave with a 2-ton stone rolled against it. Now you have a Roman guards outside the tomb, guarding the tomb. guarded it, mm-hmm, from that evening on Friday, and they stayed there until the first day of the week. Now, here's what you got to know about Roman soldiers. Roman soldiers knew once they had a duty to guard, they better not fall asleep, and they better not let anybody come and tamper. Are you with me? Now, I don't know anybody else's death that has been so guarded like the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but they put a seal. Now, the seal was a rope, and they took that rope from one end of the tomb to the other, and at each end of the rope, they put the Roman seal on it, which meant that this tomb is now under the authority of the Roman government. And anybody who tampers with the seal, that tampers with this grave, the whole weight of the Roman government will be upon them. Now that means that they, now you got the body of Jesus wrapped inside that tomb. You got that large stone, 2-ton stone. Now you got a Roman guard outside the tomb with the Roman seal outside the tomb. Now, here's what I want to know. How in the world can anybody steal the body of Jesus by night? Well, that's not going to work. Well, here's what you have to see. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, and verse number 12. I want you to go there with me. Here's what Peter found. I thought this was interesting. Remember, the women went and told Peter that Jesus Christ had been resurrected. All right? And they already know that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. We accept that because that's what the scripture says, that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. All right? The women said that we know that he's been resurrected. So they ran and told Peter. Now the Bible says, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. When you look at, go with me now, to John chapter 20 and verse number 3. I want you to put that on the screen for me. John chapter 20 and verse number 3. Put that up there. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciples, and were going to the tomb. This is the first day of the week, verse number 4. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Many believe that that was John. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Now, if somebody stole the body, that means that they stole the body and then unwrapped the body and left the clothes in the tomb. Now, that doesn't make sense. Now, watch the next verse. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there. Watch this. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. In other words, when Peter walked in, Peter saw the linen cloth that had been, that wrapped Jesus. Then he saw the part that wrapped his head, apart from the linen that wrapped his body, in its place, as though it's still wrapped. The linen that wrapped his body, still wrapped. The head covering, still wrapped. Only conclusion that he could come to is that Jesus, when he was resurrected, came through the clothes. No. Ain't nobody got to unwrap me. because when he was resurrected, he came right through them and left the grave clothes. Have you ever seen a cocoon? And when that butterfly comes out of the, it leaves the cocoon. Jesus left the grave clothes wrapped. And Peter said, and the head, the part that wrapped his head, was not even with the other part, undisturbed. Now that caught him off guard. How is that the case? But here's what I remember about the body of Jesus. When Jesus was resurrected, remember, he had the ability to come into a room without opening doors. You remember? So my question is, why was the stone removed? The only reason that the stone was removed, the only reason the angel came down and rolled the stone away, was not to let Jesus out, but to let the disciples in. Because Jesus coming up out of the tomb, that rock wasn't going to stop him. So the only reason that God dispatched the angel and rolled the stone away is that the disciples would have the ability to go in and see that the tomb is empty and that the grave clothes are still there. Somebody saying, well, Brother Gibbs, what about that Roman guard? Well, let's look at them. Matthew 28:11. Put that on the screen. Matthew 28:11. Now, while they were going, now the guards witnessed all of this. And they knew that something had happened. And so the guards are returning now to the chief priest. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city, reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. Watch verse number 12. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night, stole him away while he slept. Now, what are they doing? The soldiers know that there's no body in that tomb. They know that they have not kept the responsibility of guarding that tomb because that body was to be there. So how are they going to keep from being put to death? They had to go back to the chief. And they bribed him and said, you just tell them his disciples came by night and stole away while you slept. Watch verse 14. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. Now, I know that this is a fact because you remember in Acts 16 when the earth quaked and Paul and Silas were in prison, and the lights were out, and when that guard woke up, he presumed that all of the prisoners had escaped, and he wanted to take his life. And And Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. The death penalty was upon these men, but the chief priests bribed them, paid them off, and said, you tell them that somebody stole the body during that night. Well, somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, that all sounds good, but here is what I believe is the most convincing proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number one, I know that the Romans didn't steal the body. Number two, I know the Jews didn't steal the body. Number three, I know his disciples didn't steal the body because they were afraid. They were cowards. They had forsaken Jesus. They ran. The only explanation that caused the disciples to turn from being cowards to bold, courageous witnesses is that they had to have truly witnessed the resurrected Jesus of Nazareth. Now I want you to go to Acts 4. Acts 4, and I want to look at verse number 5. Acts 4 and verse number 5. Now this is the day of Pentecost, because Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and into the utmost part of the earth. Witnesses simply mean you got to witness to them that I am resurrected, all right? That I am the Christ and I'm resurrected. And in Acts chapter 3, there was a lame man who was healed. And watch this now. In Jerusalem, the city where Jesus was crucified, here is the apostles preaching in the city where Jesus was crucified and resurrected. They're preaching the resurrection in this city. Now watch this. And it came to pass on the next day, they had put him in prison. That's Peter and John, their rulers, elders, and scribes. Watch verse number 6. As well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now that's the place where Jesus was crucified. That's the place where they say they was resurrected. That's the place where they say the tomb is empty. Watch verse number 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? How have you caused this man to be healed who had been lame, laying at the gate? Watch verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Verse number 9. If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Verse number 10. Let it be known to you all that to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Watch verse number 11. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Verse number 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Watch verse number 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Watch verse number 14. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Verse number 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Now these are the same folk who put him to death. They had to put the apostles out and they said, man, what are we going to do with them? Watch verse number 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to who dwell in Jerusalem, the city where he was crucified, the city where he was buried, the city where he resurrected. We cannot deny it. Watch verse number 17. So that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Watch verse number 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse number 19. Watch this. But Peter and John answered and said to them,
whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Verse number 20. We cannot but speak the things which we have what? Seen and what? We have heard. In other words, Peter knew that the Jesus that died on Friday, he had been buried, but he rose again on the third day. May I give you just one more? Drop down to verse number 17 and verse number 20. 17 through 20. Watch this. 17. Chapter 4, verse number 17. Watch this now.
Well, that ain't right, is it? Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 is what I need. Acts chapter 5. I'm going to have to go and find this one. Acts chapter 5. And read all of Acts chapter 5 and you'll find where I'm trying to get you.
Go to verse number 33. Acts chapter 5, verse number 33. Now watch this now. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Now these are the same people who want to plot to kill the apostles. Well, watch verse number 34. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, commanded them to put the apostles aside, outside for a little while. They don't know what to do with these men. And all I want to know is what made the change? But Gamaliel, a man well respected of all the people. Listen to what Gamaliel says in verse number 35. And he said to them, men of Israel, you better take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. Watch verse number 36. For some time ago, Thutis rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. But watch verse number 37. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. Watch verse number 38. And now I say to you, keep away from these men. Now, listen, if the Romans knew that Jesus had not resurrected, if the Romans knew and the Jews knew that the body of Jesus was still in the tomb, why are they saying what they're saying? And now say unto you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or work is of men, it will come to nothing. But watch verse number 39. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. In other words, in the very city where he was crucified, where he was buried, where he was resurrected, it was a known fact all over Jerusalem that the tomb was empty. That's why when Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and preached the first gospel sermon, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were moved because everybody knew what had happened on that Friday. Everybody knew what happened that Friday when he was buried. Everybody knew that the tomb was empty. Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, how do they know that Jesus Christ had been resurrected? Because the Bible says that it was a gospel, this gospel that you and I are privileged to believe in. It's a gospel that we have received. It's a gospel wherein we stand. It is a gospel by which we are saved. It is a gospel that was delivered to the Apostle Paul. Somebody say, well, how was it delivered to Paul? Because here was a man who was a persecutor. Here was a man who did everything he could to stamp out the church. And then the Bible says that while he received letters to go to Damascus, the Bible said that the Lord who was resurrected appeared to him on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, it's hard to kick against the prick. And he said, who art thou? He said, it is I, Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And he said, what will you have me to do? And Saul of Tarsus at that time was baptized. Somebody ought to ask, how does a man who was a persecutor turn out to be one of the greatest advocates for the resurrected Christ? It's because Jesus Christ had been resurrected. And that's why Paul would go on record. He said, I delivered unto you, first of all, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he said he was seen, first of all, of Cephas, that is Peter. Then he was seen of all of the apostles. Then one day he was seen of some 500. And he said some 500 men at one time. And he said many of them are alive even to this day. Then not only that, but he was seen of James. James was the brother of Jesus. He was one who did not believe in him. But all of a sudden, somebody ought to ask, what turned James, what convinced James that Jesus was the Christ? It was none other than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, well, this Saul of Tarsus, tell me, how is it this man? Saul of Tarsus said, he was last seen of me. And he said, I am one who was born out of due season. Here, our whole faith rests on the fact of a resurrected Jesus Christ. I don't know of another religion that has ever come into existence where that religion is based on a founder and one who commenced a religion, and it's based on his death, it's based on his burial, and it's based on his resurrection. There is none other. Islam cannot claim this kind of founder, for their founder, Muhammad, he died and he was buried and he's still in the grave. Somebody say, well, what about Buddhism? Yes, Buddha lived, but Buddha died, and Buddha's grave is still occupied today. I don't know but one religion where that religion is based on the fact of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's been over 2,000 years, and somebody ought to be able to prove that Jesus Christ is still in the grave. Somebody ought to be able to find that grave and produce that body. But I got news for you. You'll never find him in the grave. For it is Jesus who said, I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. And he stayed around here some 40 days and showed by infallible proof that he was risen from the dead. And those same apostles that ran on that Friday are the same ones that stood and watched him go back to glory. Am I right? And when he got back to glory, it was him who sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit filled all of the apostles. Some 2,000 years later, everybody that I know of that comes into the church of our Lord, they got to come by symbolizing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do you know, Brother Gill? Because when you are baptized, that baptism is a reenactment of the death of Christ. It's a reenactment of the burial of Christ, and it's a reenactment of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The whole gospel is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, if he be not risen, then our preaching is vain and our faith is vain. I'm so glad that I know that there is a resurrection, because of the belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am convinced now that when this old body goes on back to the dust, when the worms begin to eat this old body, I know that this old body, God is going to reconstitute it, and God is going to bring it back to glory, and God is going to, I know when I'm sown, I will be sown as a temporal body, but when I'm resurrected, I will be resurrected as a spiritual body. When I get up from the grave, my body will be just like the body of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that I have this confidence and I have this faith, because everybody that has died, everybody that's in the grave, God is going to resurrect them from that grave. That's why you and I should never, never moan and groan and have a mindset of disbelief when somebody passes away, because you and I know that the Jesus that died, was buried, and rose again the third day, that's the same Jesus that's going to resurrect our bodies And that's why I'm looking forward to one day seeing all of those that are in the grave, because the Bible tells me plainly that Jesus Christ is going to come and resurrect everybody from the grave, everybody that's ever been, everybody that's ever died. My time is gone, and I'm trying to hurry this thing, but I got to get to my daddy. One of these days, I'm looking forward to seeing my daddy again. That's because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One day I'm going to see all of the saints that have left here. We're going to be gathered together around the throne of God one of these days. Don't ever worry about dying. Don't ever worry about your burial. What you got to understand is that God is going to resurrect me one of these days. Oh, if I had time, I'd tell you that death thought it had Jesus. Death thought it had him. On Friday, death said, well, the devil said, death, do you have him? And the devil said, and death said, yes, I got him. Let me close it now. Death said, I got him. And well, how secure do you have him? Well, I got him. And you don't have to worry about it. How do you know you got him? Because I got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for all of these thousands of years, they've never escaped. You mean to tell me that you got all of them? Yes, and I got this man Jesus down here as well. He ain't going nowhere. Well, that was on Friday, but on Saturday, the devil said, let me ask again, do you still have him? And finally, on the first day of the week, devil came. Death said, I can't hold him. Am I right about it? Death couldn't hold Jesus. Jesus came up out of the grave and he said, behold, all power, heaven and in earth is given unto me. He took the keys out of death's hand. He robbed the devil of his power. Jesus now has the power to hold everything and do everything because he has it all. Lord, if I know I don't preach myself crazy. Amen. But it's all right because God is a good God. And that's why we have our wonderful hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess him to be the Son of God. You know, I know they say this is Easter Sunday, but I'm going to tell you this, that you'll always be able to mark your conversion by Easter, what men call Easter Sunday. You will go down with him in the watery grave of baptism, but you'll come up with him to be resurrected with him. And when you are resurrected with him, Jesus says that you and I will be able to live eternally with him one of these days. I pray that if this is your desire, that you will come. Will you come? Will you give your life to him? Will you live according to this wonderful Savior that we have? Do that right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come? Will you come?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 886. Singing, oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, singing, oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can forsake.